Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is I don't know if it's a saying or just a piece of folk wisdom that I learned in seminary, which is that everybody comes back from internship. Internship is where you go off to be kind of a pastor in training under the tutelage of another pastor somewhere. Everyone comes back from their year of internship either with a new car, or married, or expecting a baby. And it makes sense if you stop and think about it. Because for most people, when they go to seminary and they go off for their internship, they're driving somewhere across the country. And so if you've had an older, cheaper, dying car, which many of the folks come in with, by the time you make it all the way across the country, that car is done. And so you have to replace it. And as for the marriage factor, well, you got to figure that by then a lot of folks have been in that relationship for at least 2 years or more. It has survived the rigors and stresses of the first 2 years of seminary, and so it's probably good to go. So it's not uncommon for someone to come back newly hitched. And as for the pregnant part, well, it's a year in a strange place with strange people, and folks get bored. So Tavin was born soon after we got back from internship for our final year at PLTS down in Berkeley. And that final year of seminary was spent trying to balance scholastic work and regular work and friendships and preparing to graduate and take a call somewhere, who knows where. And this newly expanded experience of family. And it was not easy. Tavin's heard us talk about this before, but he had a lot of colic as a little guy. And that got rough at times. I remember one day in class, I had this bright idea that I would give Sarah a break, and I would take him to class with me. That lasted about 5 minutes before I found myself outside the building trying to comfort a very colicky, screaming child. I had no ride home, so I sat out there for the remainder of the class. I did finally calm him down by taking off my shirt, using it as a swaddle. So that looked odd, but I was in Berkeley, so nobody cared. There was one couple that we were kind of semi-friends with while we were in seminary, who were an exception to that idea of coming back with a new car, married, or pregnant. I call them semi-friends because, I mean, we were friendly, but we weren't really close. The first couple that we met when we got there, and we tried to kind of hit it off, but, people are different. It just doesn't always work. But as it happened, the husband in this couple was, his hometown was nearby where we did our internship. And so while we were out in Ohio, he came out for a visit to go see his mother. And we got together with him for a barbecue at her place. We were catching up. It had been a while. We were already expecting at that point. And so, of course, the small talk comes up, and we had this kind of semi-awkward conversation because we're not super close, but at the same time, we're kind of floundering for people to connect with while we're spread around the country. And, like I say, Sarah and I are expecting at that point, so the topic of children comes up, and I ask him about it and such. And I will never forget his response. No. We are never having kids. We are way too selfish to be parents. Now, please note as I say that, I'm just quoting what he said. I am not calling out couples who don't have children. That is not my intention at all. I am not poking fingers at anyone, pointing fingers, excuse me. I'm just quoting something that he said. We are way too selfish to be parents. Now, last week we covered a reading that was common to weddings. Do you remember that? 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is not boastful or envious or arrogant or rude, love does not insist on its own way, it insists on the truth, etc., etc., etc. Right? And we talked about how despite the fact that we use that in weddings all the time, that reading was not written about romantic love. That it was written to this church in Corinth that was in conflict. We talked about how it's appropriate to use it in weddings because it's about relationships. But it's not about romantic love, which we always think it is just because it gets used in weddings. Well, today we have a reading that's very common to funerals. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory over death through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Unlike last week, this reading actually does really fit for funerals in and of itself because it really is about exactly what it sounds like. It's about physical death and physical resurrection. But today is Mother's Day. I don't really want to preach a funeral sermon today. Of course, we're not all mothers either. So I don't want to just preach about Mother's Day. So instead, let's take one brief moment to talk about the 1987 movie Wall Street. Starring Michael Douglas. Because, of course, that's what we're going to talk about. Any of you ever seen that movie or heard of that movie? It was a film about the New York Stock Exchange in the 80s, about shady business practices and about corruption, about corporate greed. It has this very famous quote. It's very simple, three words. Greed is good. That's the famous takeaway quote from the movie Wall Street. Greed is good. It's a disgusting quote. I'm hoping you agree with me on that. Greed is good. And yet it's a very honest quote because to be human is very often to be greedy and to be selfish. And the thing is, that's pretty much the polar opposite of what makes a good mother. And the thing is, that's pretty much the polar opposite about what makes a good Christian. There we go. It is possible, as that seminary cohort classmate of mine said, to be way too selfish to be parents, but it is also possible to be way too selfish to live as faithful Christians. Because to live as a faithful Christian, to live a faithful Christian life, is to live as much for others as for oneself. You know, Paul, I said, is writing literally about death and resurrection, but think about it symbolically for a moment, figuratively. For all of us die in Adam, and so all will be made alive in Christ. Living in Adam, like he says, is living our normal human daily existence. It's living in selfishness. It's living in that base animalistic just that basic animalistic tendency we have to put ourselves first, foremost, and always. Living in Christ is living in selflessness. It's living in something beyond that kind of base animalistic tendency. To be a mother requires letting a certain amount of our natural selfishness die. To be a Christian requires letting a certain part of our natural selfishness die. We come out of the womb thinking about ourselves first. It makes sense. It's how we survive. But it's not how we build community. It's not how we build collaboration and culture and anything of value. Our whole life is spent learning to care about others, to live in ways that honor the fact that every other person around us is just as equally valid and equally human as we ourselves. Last year, those seminary friends of mine had their first baby. Little girl. Excuse me, those seminary semi-friends of mine. And I don't know what changed, because we're not that close. But clearly that attitude of, quote, we are too selfish to be parents was over. Either that or, you know, they had an accident. But whatever happened, I wish them the best. My hope for us as a community of faith, and as we continue to live into this new promise of this new location, this new promise of what we can do from and at this location and from this place, I hope that we are similarly able to give of ourselves, to welcome people in Christ's name, and to show that we are not too selfish to be Christian. Let us pray. We thank you, O holy, good, and gracious God, for the opportunities that you have provided for us to walk faithfully in your way. We ask you to be with us today and always, to help us to be faithful to your word. We ask you to bless all of those who care for others. We thank you for the mothers in this room, the mothers that we have all shared and experienced, the ones that we may have wished to have had, the ones that we honor and love. We pray all of these things, trusting in your good and faithful name. Amen.